Who said word? Word. Word. Word is a word, all right. John chapter 9, verse 1, all the way to verse 41. We're going to read this together. All right, so just to sort of give you the back scene, Jesus is sort of speaking to the crowd of Pharisees, scribes, teachers, people of the religious elite Jesus was speaking to just before chapter 9. And that's where he declared, hey, before Abraham was, I am, referring him back into the Old Testament when God revealed himself as the great I am. That's who Jesus proclaimed to be. And so now he's walking, passing by with his disciples. And so we just pick up here in verse 1. So this is the word of the Lord. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not this man's sin or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground. He made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors of those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is not this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept on saying, I'm the man. And so they said to him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees a man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight, and he said to him, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? There was a division among them. So they said to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, is this your son who say he was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that he is our son and that he has been born blind. But now he sees. We do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. He asks, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews has already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he was to be put out of the synagogue. The synagogue was where the Jewish people would come and worship God. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered him, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? Don't you hate that? Like when someone asks you the same question over and over and you got to keep on saying the same thing, it's like, are you listening or not? That's sort of what's going on over here. And they reviled him, saying, you're his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why is this an amazing thing? You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? Jesus answered, said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to him, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here's a question. Can you think of a time where you wanted the power to do something, but then you realized you didn't have the ability to do it? For me, after watching Spy Kids back in the day, where they could instantly make food just with a blink of an eye by putting this like sort of little pill or package of like looking oatmeal into the microwave and then you can get a Big Mac and fries and Coke and everything. I wanted to do that by just imagining food in my mind and then speaking it into existence by the blink of my eye. But that never worked. I really wanted to do that over and over and over again. What about you guys? You guys have any examples of that in your life? You want to do something, but then you realize, yeah, you just can't do that. Anything? Oh, what about this? Could someone, like, maybe imagine in their life that they would want to, like, I don't know, instantly burn something just by looking at it? Like, could you guys, like, burn this, like, book right now? Yeah, you have, some people have imagined that before. Like, it would be pretty cool, you know, just to look at a tree and then, boom, it's on fire. I got to go get some s'mores, right? But we know that we are unable to do certain things that maybe that we would want to do in life. And here in this narrative, Jesus is showing us that he has the power to do what we cannot do. And that's unblinding us from darkness. Jesus has the power and he has the authority to give sight to the blind. And I think in this main idea of Jesus having an authority to give sight to the blind and unblind us from our darkness, we can have three takeaways from this text. The first one is, God uses evil for good. Ever since the fall of the world, of mankind, of wanting to be separated from God, the world has been corrupted by death in all areas, spiritually being disconnected to God, physically. We have physical death, emotional death, psychological death, social death, economic death, and even our mental health is at a state of death as well. We live in a world filled with darkness. But you have to ask yourself, but why? Well, it says in Romans 5:12 that by one man entered into the world, and he entered sin into this whole world. And everyone born into the world is now dead in sin and live to it. And through that sin is death. It breathes death. And death not only to them or other people, but also into the world. And now through humankind, everything is permeated by death. Everywhere we go, now evil is impacting the world right here and right now. And in this case, this man, this beggar, was born blind, not because he sinned, not because his parents sinned, but because the world is just a sinful place. This is why bad things happen in life. This is where we hear all the time, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, life just happens. There's death in this world, and it's being corrupted every single where we go. And so what does God do? Does God just destroy everything, clean it up, tries to start over? I'm pretty sure he could do that. He could do anything, right? No, he didn't do that. Well, maybe he's just afraid of the darkness. So in light of that, he just tries to stay away. He's like, no, this is too dark. I don't want to get involved with this. Like, this is too much, like, pain and suffering. This is not of my nature. I don't even want to deal with it because of the baggage that comes with it. It's also a no. But rather, he enters into darkness. Instead of straying away from it, he goes fully into it and that he can bring about the light in which we are seeing here, that Jesus is light of the world and light that is originally intended to be. God created the whole world intended to be good without sin, and he's doing that through his act in history on this planet to restore all things back to how they were originally designed. And God ultimately does this in the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for not only our joy and our good and to bring us back into a place and a relationship where we can be with God without sin, but also for God's glory to be made known throughout the whole nations. So God did not waste his suffering and pain or in the evil in the world, but actually uses this for good. He flips it around. God does the exact same thing in your life as well. He wants to do that. Whatever you might have done intentionally or unintentionally, whatever has happened to you, or whether it was from your own doing or not, God is in the business of using any evil and turning it into good, since he desires to glorify himself and bring you into life. So God has a power and authority over darkness. It leads us to our second point. In the person of Jesus, he desires to unblind us so that we might see him and live. So it says here in the text that Jesus, passing by while on their journey, like Jesus just talked to these religious elites, and he's just passing by. He's just walking by. And through him walking by, he sees this blind man. He looks right directly at him. He sees him. He knows him. He knows what situation he's in. And then he says, we must be doing the works of him who sent me. That's why God sent me, to do the works of him, to do his will, to bring about light in darkness. What does Jesus do? He unblinds him. So you might be saying to yourself, great, awesome. Jesus unblinds this man who could not see, and now he sees. What does that have to do for me? What does that have to do for us? Because, hey, I'm not blind. I can see. I can see clearly. I can see clearly now that the rain has gone, right? I can see everything out here. But what does that have to do with me? Well, this is where Jesus throws us sort of a curveball. Not only for this man, but also for us. It says that Jesus found him and asked him towards the end of the story. And he doesn't ask him, hey, how's your eyes doing, by the way? You know, I hope they're good. We don't see that in text. Jesus doesn't also say, so, like, now since you see, is your life better? And you sort of see colors, birds. You know, you can see the food that you're eating. No. What does Jesus say to him that we see? Do you believe in the Son of Man? That's what he says to him right away. He asks if he believes in him. Now listen, I totally believe that God is concerned about our physical health, our bodies, and that God desires to heal us physically, whether it's here or on the other side of eternity, and will ultimately heal everything in this world. But it seems to me that more than often than not, that when we look at the scriptures, God is more concerned about our heart. And if not more concerned of the condition of our heart daily. I've heard it said before that the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. And Jesus has said it before that evil comes from the heart, as we see in the other gospels. So it's like as if Jesus knows that our ultimate need is to be saved from the inside out by the means of getting to the heart of the matter where sin and true darkness dwells. And Jesus, in this physical act of unblinding this poor man, this beggar on the side of the road, he's basically saying, hey, I am the one that unblinds you, but not just of a physical ailment, but I want to unblind you of your spiritual blindness that you do not see and bring us into his marvelous light of knowing him. All right, I need a volunteer out here. Who wants to participate? Anyone? All right, you in the back up there. You just literally, I think you like grabbed your hand or raised your hand first. All right, what's your name?
Flops.
Flops? All right. Flops, I want you to do a couple things for me. I'm going to blind you, all right? And I'm going to tie your hands up. And then I'm going to spin you around like 10 or 20 times. And I want everyone in here to sort of direct her to the exit door, all right? But I want everyone trying to say it at once, okay? So, all right, let me know if you are seeing or not.
Nah.
Can you see?
No.
Are you lying?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Are you sure that you're not lying?
I am not.
Are you not sure that you're not sure?
I might not be lying.
All right, sweet. That's good enough. And then put your arms behind your back.
Oh.
Yep. Don't worry, I'm not a cop. But you cannot, the rules are you cannot touch the blind on your face, right? Is that tight enough? Is that good?
Good?
No circulation? It's good?
No, all right. Circulation.
All right, good, good, good. All right. There we go. I think that's good.
Yeah.
So you can't see anything. How many fingers am I holding up?
12.
No, I'm actually holding up 4 fingers and 1 thumb. All right. All right. Everyone just started like screaming right now. All right, and then I'm going to spin you. Keep on going. Woo! Keep on going. Keep on going. Faster, faster! 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 All right, director to the exit door. All right. Everyone give it up for Flobs. Give it up for Flobs. All right. You're done. Oh, no. You almost did it. Wait, can someone help her out? All right. There we go. You're so close. All right. Thank you. Give it up for Flobs. Woo! Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So, oh, thank you. You could have kept that if you wanted.
What?
Souvenir?
Can I keep it?
There you go. All right, it's not even mine. It's not even mine. All right. Well, as you can tell, being blind would be a little difficult in life, especially when you're hearing a lot of noises from other people and distractions. Like, literally, just imagine, like, all you know is darkness. Like, try to put yourself in that man's shoes. All you know is darkness. You hear noises all around. You don't have any ability to just like snap your fingers and that you could see again. You have been born blind. All you know is the darkness. You've never seen light, never seen color, never seen Chick-fil-A, never seen my delicious Popeyes. You've never seen light. And just how we can get so confused of being blind, don't know where we're going, we're hearing different voices, and we second-guess ourselves sometimes. We have no ability to unblind ourselves from this darkness. And this is just a picture of how we have no ability to save ourselves, that God, in his grace and mercy, actually unblinds us by his grace alone. That we have no ability to unblind us. That because all we know is that we are just blind and that we see darkness and are in darkness. And God says, I am the light of life. I come to you. I give you life. I give you the light so that you may see. And not just to see, but to follow. And this is the gospel, that everyone born into this world has been at enmity with God. That everyone, according to the Bible, when you are born into this world, you are at enmity with God, meaning that you are an enemy of God, that you are born in sin, that you have been blinded, not just by the power of sin, but you have been blinded by Satan and his kingdom of darkness, been blinded by this world and the passions of it, and our fleshly passions that want to rule us. You've been blinded from seeing Jesus as he is. This is what Ephesians 2 says. This is what 1 Peter 2 says. This is what Colossians talks about. This is the reality that we were dead in our sins in which we once walked. And being dead, we have no ability to unblind ourselves. But in the midst of being blinded by the darkness, God comes to us in our darkness as the light of the world. He unblinds us to see the light of Jesus. Why? Because he loves us. Because God loves you. Because God loves me. Because God loves his people, that he would be the one to unblind us when we have no ability to see. You see, here in the scriptures, this man didn't come seeking after Jesus. Jesus looked to him, said, "Hey, I'm coming after you. You did not even come to me. You didn't even yell towards me to come. You didn't even like hear these footsteps from Jesus." No, this man literally sat there, and Jesus went up to him, told him to go into the pool, to go tell him to wash, and that's him to come back, and he came back seeing. This man did not ask for this. This is a sheer grace alone by God. And that's how he saves us in our blindness, that we may see the light. And that's the start of the invitation of seeing the light of Christ. And it's funny to me that this blind man believed in Jesus when he couldn't see Jesus at first. But the Pharisees, who could like literally see Jesus, they didn't believe him at all. I think this speaks to the reality that by nature, we don't think we need Jesus until we recognize that we are in darkness. If we've ever seen the light, if we've never seen the light, I'm just talking about physical light. If you've never seen physical light, right, it seems like, yeah, everything's okay in here, right? But if we saw light in darkness, we would recognize that we've just been living in darkness all this time. So it's a good thing that God has power over darkness and reveals the darkness within us so that we may have true sight of seeing him. Now, what should our response be? Should we ask ourselves, and I think we should ask ourselves, where does God need to unblind me so that I may see Jesus clearly? It could be the start for some of you of seeing Jesus as he truly is, right from the beginning, to start that relationship, to know that, wow, I've never recognized the darkness within my life, but now seeing the light, I want to follow that light. And for many of us here, it's, I've seen Jesus as light, but he's slowly becoming absent in my life, that I just don't really see the light anymore because I've been having this darkness over my life. I've been walking in darkness, maybe believing lies of the darkness, not reminding myself that I am now a child of God, a child of light, where scripture says, I was once darkness, but now I'm light in the Lord. Or where 1 Peter says that, hey, you are part of this dark kingdom, and God has transferred you over to the kingdom of light, and that you are now his either beloved son or daughter. So whatever the case may be, it could be lies of Satan plaguing you day in and day out when you wake up to you go to sleep. It could be a struggle of a particular sin. It could be lies of this culture, sort of shaping our identity rather than the identity that God has given us. Or it could be our own preference rather than the truth of God's word, and that's something we may be suppressing within us, not coming to the knowledge of the truth. And in light of seeing Jesus clearly, what should we do? It's very clear from this text that when this blind man saw Jesus, he did two things. He believed and he worshiped. He believed and he worshiped. The man says, "Lord, I believe," when Jesus asked him, "Who is the Son of Man?" And it is I who you are seeing. And he says, "Lord," meaning, "Lord, you are the Lord of my life. You're the one that calls the shots. You're the one who has authority. You're the one who tells me the way to go. You're the one that instructs me upon your word because it's a lamp unto my feet. You're the God that opens up the eyes of the blind, that you are the Messiah coming in, coming to deliver me of my darkness. You are the Lord of my life in every capacity where I have it." He says, "Lord, I believe." He believes. And out of that belief, he worships him. He worships him. Why? Because not only does he believe, but we worship what we love. I can just see this man in love with Jesus, worshiping him. And the sad thing is, the Pharisees, these religious elites who knew all the law, who knew everything, who memorized the whole Old Testament, they failed to believe, and they didn't worship him. So what are you and I and us going to believe tonight? And who are we going to worship? There are some of us that might believe right away, and it might seem easy to us. However, I think there are many of us in here tonight, even questioning what we truly believe. And we might have to say one of the most hardest prayers in Scripture that I mentioned before a night ago, where this man said, "Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Lord, I want to have the ability to believe, but Lord, I might have to even ask for the ability to be within me to believe, because I don't know if I can believe on my own strength. I've seen you do many things before. Maybe I've seen you in my family. Maybe I've seen you move in my friends. Maybe I've seen you move in a particular situation, but the darkness is so dark where I just don't even know what to believe anymore, and all these voices from people in the culture are sort of overwhelming me. Lord, help me to believe. I don't have that power." So let us not think for a second that we have to believe and we have to muster up our own strength when we are facing the darkness. Because if God was the one who started the work in my life to unblind me from the darkness and start me on a path of following him and loving him and worshiping him and honoring him and exalting him above any other and every name upon this earth and universe, then he will sustain you in that journey. He will continue to unblind you from ways that seem so good to us, but yet are death and darkness waiting for us. He'll continue to do a work in you and to unblind you from the darkness. And he has a power to do so. So our response should be worship. So I don't know where you guys are going to be at tonight, but may we go from here in worship, pressing into that unbelief we might feel and releasing that to God, asking God in the midst of that unbelief to fill us up with fresh, new, confident belief, fresh hope in Christ, so we can see Jesus as he truly is, as light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in humble adoration to your word. And we just say, God, Lord, we believe, but help us in our unbelief. Lord, so many times and so many days and so many weeks can be tiring on end, where we feel weighted down by the darkness of this world, by the pressure of it, by the reality that as a light shining in darkness, and as this light gets bigger and bigger, that more darkness will cover us and attack us and weigh us down. But yet at the same time, you promise that you would be with us, you would be the light of the world, that we would not walk in darkness but walk in life. So Lord, teach us how to follow you. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to worship you. Teach us how to love you. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us, Lord, how to see how you see, think how you think, feel how you feel. Teach us to see the cross and teach us, Lord, how to live in light of the cross and freedom every single day from the powers of this world that you've brought us from death to life. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Mm-mm.